is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Republic of India, the magnificent ambition of the Prime Minister and his government now, is to become a manufacturing epicenter for everything that America needs for the future. Of course, I mean the iPhone, but there's more to it than that. So I welcome Sadanand Dumay of the American Enterprise Institute, who writes for the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal, his column on the subcontinent. Sadanand, ever since the news of China's collapse because of COVID zero policies and other, what you'd have to say, authoritarian decisions, the promise has been India, but more recently, crisis in the iPhone factory in China led to decision-making by the major corporation that is in everybody's portfolio, Apple. Tim Cook moving facilities to manufacture iPhones to India. Is this the moment that changed everything, or has it been going on for some time? Good evening to you, Sadanand.
Very good evening, John. Well, it's been going on for some time. So Apple has been doing a small amount of manufacturing, roughly about 5%, in India of iPhones since about 2017. But the announcement in September that they would make the iPhone 14 in India stands out because this is the first time that Apple is making a leading-edge phone in India very soon after or around the same time as its U.S. launch. In the past, they've sort of typically produced older models or they've waited for 6 months or 8 months or a year before producing a model in India. This time, the announcement of the launch of the iPhone 14 and the announcement that they would be making it in India were nearly at the same time. And I think that's what's quite striking.
And this is evidence of manufacturing looking to India for the future, I presume. And the question here is India ready for the scale of this? And can it work it up? You indicate that Prime Minister Modi's government has been working very hard. Is their expectation now that they can match the need if manufacturing is to move to them in some large effect?
So, you know, John, there's the jury is out, as I say in my Wall Street Journal column. There's a glass half full view and there's a glass half empty view. In the glass half full view, India is poised to benefit from the geopolitical moment, the fact that Xi Jinping's China has become such a fraught and uncertain place to do business, not only zero COVID, as you mentioned, but the fact that they're in the midst of a geopolitical confrontation with the United States and its allies. The fact that the Chinese government has gone after their tech industry, it just doesn't seem like that as stable a place as it did, say, 10 years ago. So there's that going on. There's the fact that India is soon going to overtake China. In fact, next year is going to overtake China as the world's most populous country. Some companies see that as evidence that India is going to present a large and growing market for their goods. So there's another reason to have an India presence. India, as you and I have discussed, John, has warm relations with the U.S. It's a member of the Quad, along with Japan, Australia, and the U.S. And so there's a general sense that as geopolitics affects supply chains in Asia, India, for geopolitical and other reasons, is in a position to benefit. And so the people who make this argument will point to Apple, will point to a JP Morgan report that says that Apple will within the next few years, start making one-fourth of its phones in India. They'll point to a Morgan Stanley report that says that India is poised to become the world's third largest economy by 2027. And they'll add all this up with the government program, which is pouring about $24 billion worth of incentives to get companies to manufacture more in India. And they'll say that this is going to be India's moment. And India is poised to become industrialized the way China was industrialized before and the way other countries in East Asia, South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan had industrialized even earlier.
And I agree. And I celebrate what you're saying, Sadanand. And there's more to boast about this. I believe India has nearly 300 million English sophisticated speakers, read and write. India also has the law courts, which are obeyed and very significant. India has access to the Indo-Pacific, which is the 21st century ocean. There are all these positives, and yet you note that the jury is out. What right now makes the jury hesitate?
you know, John, that old joke about Brazil, that Brazil, you know, Brazil is an emerging power, and it's going to continue to, it's always going to be emerging. And I think there's sort of something similar to be said about India. I mean, India is a country that never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And that's there is among skeptics, they basically point to three or four things. The first is that there is an enormous amount of bureaucracy in India. It's very difficult to ram through reforms to make India more competitive. So, for example, I mean, the schemes that the Modi government has started, where they're essentially paying private firms, both Indian and foreign, to hit production quotas, those do not address the real problems that allowed China to go so far ahead of India in the first place. One of them is that China has a more skilled workforce. India has some very skilled engineers, but overall, the levels of education have been higher in China, so they have a more skilled workforce. They have much better infrastructure, particularly in places like Shenzhen and Guangzhou. And they have created this kind of ecosystem of supply chains, which has really locked in many of the world's large corporations, large manufacturers. India hasn't been able to do any of that yet. It's still struggling with its reform program. As you and I know, it's a messy democracy. Sometimes it takes two steps forward and three steps back. Sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back, which is better. And so there's a certain amount of skepticism. And if you go to my column and just read the comments, they're fascinating because a lot of the comments are by American business executives who have done business in both China and India. And my hope is that someone from the Indian government will just go and read those comments and say that, well, you know, this is what guys in business are saying need to get fixed. And I hope they go out and fix these things.
You're talking about the bureaucracy, the hesitation because there is regulation at all levels. In other words, it's not only a British government you've accepted in India, it's a colonial thinking government. And then there was the romance with Marxism, socialism in the 20th century. Is that what they mean when they say it's difficult?
Yes. So the bureaucracy has many layers. The rules tend to be opaque and complicated. And it's not entirely clear whether India's bet is going to work out in every sector. So you have these 14 sectors of the economy where the government is pumping in about $24 billion. But who decides which sector should get this support and which should not? In India's case, it's politicians and bureaucrats who are making those decisions. They would argue that, look, the Japanese did this before and the South Koreans have done this before. But I think more free market oriented economists would point out that in general, governments are really, really bad at picking winners and losers. And when you get politicians and bureaucrats in the mix, what it does is it creates a system where there's a lot of room for patronage, there's a lot of room for cronyism, and a better, more market-friendly, more efficient approach would have been to make and just improve the infrastructure, improve the education, cut the bureaucracy, simplify, get rid of some of the red tape, and then let businesses build. The other problem is that India is, while it's trying to get suppliers to move manufacturing to India, India is retreating from global trade. So in 2019, it stepped away from the RCEP, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. It is not a member of the CPTPP, and it's competing with countries like Vietnam, which are members of both. Vietnam is very nimble, very agile, and Vietnam has said that it has never met a trade agreement it doesn't want to join. India, by contrast, remains cautious. It's scared of trade. It's scared of competition. And so how that caution on trade is going to jibe with an eagerness to get global supply chains to relocate to India, that remains to be seen.
Sadanand Dume for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, his column on the subcontinent's promise. I'm John Beck.